Well, good evening. Thank you all for being here. Our first Bible study of the new year. I'm excited, and we're starting a new chapter in Daniel tonight, but I am excited to do this. I had to give Tara a hug. I even kissed her on the top of the head. Told her I hadn't seen her since last year. I wish you guys could literally see the look she gives me sometimes when I say something. She looks at me like I'm the craziest fool she'd ever seen in her life. But it is good to be here tonight. Thank you for being here. And as we begin, we're going to go to the Lord in prayer to start our time together as we begin looking at Daniel chapter 3. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our blessed Heavenly Father, thank you for being here. Thank you, dear Lord, for everything that you've done for us. Dear Lord, there is so much going on, but dear Lord, you're in control of it all. And no matter what we say, no matter what we do, nothing, absolutely nothing will take you off your throne. And again, dear Lord, nothing can remove us from your hand. And we thank you for that. Lord, I ask that you be with us as we continue to study Daniel. We thank you for what we see written in these words here that Daniel recorded for us, dear Lord. And help us to understand and see how even though times change, things still remain the same. And how what we read that were written so many years ago still apply to us today. We thank you for that. And it's in the holy and blessed name of Jesus Christ, our living Savior, we pray. Amen. Well, like I said, we're going to start. We finished up. The last time we had Wednesday night Bible study, we finished chapter 2. What was going on in chapter 2? You guys remember, just as a recap, just to sort of get your juices flowing. In Daniel chapter 2, what was the main thing going on in that chapter? The dream. Nebuchadnezzar had the dream. Remember, he asked all his sorcerers and soothsayers and everybody that he had inherited from his father, tell me what this dream means. But on top of that, I'm not telling you what the dream is. If you really have the power to do this, you can tell me what my dream was. Therefore, I'll know if you're telling me the truth. They didn't want to do it. So he ordered them all killed. So when they come to kill Daniel, because Daniel and his friends were now part of that group, those wise men, even though they were not part of this group that he was talking to, they were also on the chopping block. So Daniel talks the guy in. He says, hey, let me talk to the king. Let me have a little time. Let me talk to the king. And then so he goes to get Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and he says, hey, let's pray about this. And they began to pray. And that night, God revealed the dream to Daniel in a vision. What he had dreamed and what the interpretation of that dream was. So he goes and he tells Nebuchadnezzar what he had dreamed. And he had dreamed of this statue, and the head was gold, and it kept getting down until the feet were made of iron and clay, two materials that do not bond together at all. And then he also saw a rock or a boulder that was hewn from a mountain without hands, and it rolled and crushed the statue so there was nothing but dust. Smashed it to smithereens, and nothing was left of it. But then the mountain filled up and took up the whole, or the rock grew and took up the entire world. And he interpreted it. That is very important to remember. Who did Daniel say in his interpretation was the head of gold? Nebuchadnezzar. Very important to remember. Very important to remember. So let's look at Daniel chapter 3, starting in verse 1. The Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, the height of which was 60 cubits, and its width was 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Okay. Do you think that Nebuchadnezzar understood and took to heart the interpretation of his dream? Not in the least. He does a lot of what we do. He picked up on one part of that interpretation and he ran with it. What part of that interpretation did he pick up on and did he hold on to over all else? What part of that dream did he hold on to? Him being the head of gold. Why did Daniel say that he was the head of gold? Because he was the most powerful, and anything that came after him would be weaker until what? Until this Christ, until Christ, until the stone came. But anything on the earth, any man on the earth, any ruler on the earth, any kingdom would be weaker. They would be come after him, but they would never be as good and strong and big and as important as him until Christ came. He didn't pick up on the meaning that he was only here temporarily, that there was going to come a day when there was one coming that was going to destroy all things on the earth, that was bigger than they could ever be, that was going to fill the whole earth, and nothing could stop him. He didn't get that. He picked up on the fact that he was the head of gold. So he runs with it, and he makes an image. Now, this is not a small image, okay? But an image of gold. More than likely, this image was not solid gold, but it was built. The common practice of the time was is that it was built out of wood and then covered in gold. Lightweight inside, precious metal outside. And we have to understand this is that a cubit is about 18 inches. So you're talking about something that's, what does it say, 60 cubits? 90 feet tall by 9 feet wide. This is not something small. But even this, you know, you remember getting the Easter bunnies, the chocolate bunnies for Easter? You know, when I was a kid, that some of them were actually solid. You remember the solid ones? But I remember the first time I bit into one thinking it was solid and it wasn't. That's disappointing, isn't it? Thinking you got that whole ear of chocolate going in your mouth and you bite it and the whole thing just crumbles in your hand. Even this idol, the best that he could do was all a facade of gold on the outside. Think about that. Think about that. There is some debate about when this happens, and we're not going to get into that. Because in reality, it doesn't matter if it happens a few years later or immediately after the dream. It doesn't matter when it happened. The point is that it did happen. And that we can learn something from this. It says here, if you look at 2a, after about the image of gold, on the plains of Dura, there stands today a rectangular, mound, thank you, about 20 feet high, an exact square of about 46 feet in, at the base, and resembling the pedestal of a colossal statue. Don't you love it when archaeology shows you things that the Bible talks about? Oh, that didn't really happen. Well, guess what? Yeah, it did. Okay. Now look at verses 2 through 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, and all the rulers of the provinces were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, and they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Okay, this word satrap, we don't have that word in our English language. This is a Persian loan word. It's something they borrowed from the Persians, and it basically means protector of the realm. It refers to a specific category of public officials. So I guess the closest thing that we could say is this would be a lord or a lord. The protector of the realm, you know, it's not, or a knight. It wasn't the top dog, and he wasn't at the bottom. But he's somewhere right there in the middle. But the main thing is that they wanted everybody there for this event. All the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image, the demand that came to come to the dedication ceremony means that Nebuchadnezzar meant to use the worship of this image as a test of allegiance. Remember what we said about the whole dream thing. Nebuchadnezzar took rule over from his father. He inherited everybody. He already devised a plan to get rid of his wise men and his soothsayers and these astrologers and all these mystical arts people that were advising the king. He already made a plan to get rid of them by having them killed, because he says, okay, if you can tell me what the interpretation is, you can tell me what the dream is. If you can't, I'm killing you and I'm killing your families. He is not trusting these people. They have not proven themselves to him. So he is demanding that they a test of allegiance. So he is actually setting this up as another test of allegiance. But he's also setting this up because he literally believes that he is a God man. Just like if you watch anything, even in our own history, and in the history of the of Britain, Henry VIII. Okay, everybody know who's Henry VIII? Big king. He kept marrying these women to have a son. None of them produced a son, so he was having them beheaded, and he wanted to divorce them. And the Pope said, "Nope, you can't divorce her." So he's like, well, who are you to tell me what I can do? I'm the king. I am God, you know, all this. So what does he do? He breaks off the Catholic Church and he starts the Church of England. And guess who's the head of the Church of England? The king. There is something that goes along with this, is that they feel that because they are ordained by God, that they feel that they have the authority of God. They have all the authority and they should be worshipped like God. Okay? So that's King, he's got that going on. So look at verses 4 and 6, or 4 through 6. Then the herald loudly proclaimed, once everybody gathered together, the herald loudly proclaimed, to you the command is given, O people, nations, and men of every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. But whoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. Okay? So he said he's doing this as a test of allegiance, but he's also doing it because he wants to. He wants to be worshiped. And so they tell them, and some of these instruments we don't understand, we don't know exactly what they are, but the idea is that it is a huge orchestra. So it's not like somebody just sitting there going, do-do-do-do-do. This is going to be big. And they tell him, when you hear the music, bow down. Why? Because the one in power said so. Church, we're being told every time you turn on the TV, every time you read an article, every time you watch a movie, every time you do anything in our society today, we're being told to dance with the music. Why? Because those in power tell us to. And if we don't, are we being threatened? Oh, yeah. We are. If we don't go along with what's being said is proper today, what happens to us? We get sued. Guys, you realize that people are going to jail? People are losing their family businesses because they are being canceled. People are losing jobs. There is no such thing as biology anymore. I love it. Oh, they laugh at us.
Also, but in the UK and some of these other ones, if you even say you disagree with something,
oh, yeah,
the police show up at your doorstep. If you post something like male is male and female is female, that's it. It's like they show up at your door and say, did you post something on Facebook?
It's considered hate speech.
It's hate speech.
Yeah. But then you have other countries that are like laughing at us. They know. Listen, I'm going to tell you, and if I offend you, I'm sorry, but this is just the way it is. There is only two sexes. I don't care what the president says. I don't care what those in authority say. There's only two sexes. How do I know that? Because I took biology when I was in high school. Plus the fact I raise animals. You cannot get an egg from a rooster. And you're not going to get milk from a bull. If you want to, go try it. You will not do it more than once. Biology is biology, and I don't care what they say. If you have a transgender person and a woman becomes a man, everything about her DNA is going to say she's a woman. When she dies and is buried and they dig up her bones, they're going to tell by the way her pelvis was shaped. If she had children, they're going to be able to look at her. They're going to be able to measure the bones. They're going to be able to get the DNA out of the bones. And everything about it is going to say that it was a woman, regardless of what she did on the outside to look like a man. That's not me saying it. That's facts saying it. That is... Yes, that is God saying it. That's common sense saying it. But common sense is not so common. Okay, but I'm sorry about... But that's the... Yeah, but look, it's the same thing going on here in Babylon at the time. They were being told to do this because it was what the one in authority wanted to have happen. And they were expected to go along with everything that was said, regardless. And how did he get them to do it? By threatening them. By threatening them. Did you have something you wanted to say, Kenneth? Oh. Yeah. Yes. There is a man. Well, she's a woman. She'll tell you she's a woman, but she was transitioned into the man. And she is getting death threats because she is speaking out against it at this point. And she has actually got a program to help and defend children that are being mutilated because of this. And defending children. And they are getting death threats every day. But let's go on to look. But whosoever does not fall down and worship shall immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. Nebuchadnezzar was known, and we've talked about this before, that there was no slaps on the wrist by Nebuchadnezzar. He immediately went from A, he didn't go to B and then C. He went from A to all the way to Z, just like that. There was no if, ifs, and buts. If you didn't do what he wanted, he was done with you. And you were done. So the people knew this, and Nebuchadnezzar actually regarded this obedience. If you did not bow down to this idol, it was treason. And punishment for treason is what? Death. Punishment for treason is death. So all of these politicians, all of these people, they're filling this valley, these plains of Dura. And they're all there and they hear this orchestra and this huge band strike up and immediately... They all fell. But we're not there yet. Look at verse 7. Therefore, at that time, when all the people heard the sound of the horn, flute, lyre, trigon, psaltery, bagpipe, and all kinds of music, all the people, nations, and men of every language fell down and worshiped the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. They all followed suit. Can you imagine that sight? I know Sandra, what does she tell you guys in the choir? When she does this, what are you guys supposed to do? How? Together. And when she does this, what are you supposed to do? How? One at a time? No, the whole group. Larry, when the commanding officer says march, what does the group do? March. They don't wait for somebody to move. They just do it. That's what happened here. When this orchestra strikes up, all these people that filled that plane surrounding that golden image, as soon as they heard that music, they all hit their knees and bowed down to this image. We're stopping there. But we know what comes next. Can you imagine the sight? They're sitting up there and they're looking at all these people. You think it would be hard to spot three Hebrew boys that were still standing tall in the middle of all of that? Everybody's face down worshiping this idol, this statue. But there's three. We are not told if Daniel is part of this group. Daniel's not mentioned in this, but his three friends are. You know, Daniel may be, because of him interpreting the dream, Daniel may be up there with the king. But we know for a fact that those three Hebrew boys, those young men that prayed with Daniel, do not bend their knee. And that's one of my favorite stories. I love what they tell the king. And I pray that I have that much faith, that much courage, and that much guts to stand tall if I'm faced with this. And this is one thing I want you to understand, that everything so far, from the rejecting of the king's food and asking to just eat vegetables and water, to the interpretation of the dream, and now this, all of these stands, all of these things that they're dealing with so far, they're being faced. It's in the face of death that they're doing these things. They're doing it despite being faced with death. I pray that we're able to have that same courage. But next week, we're going to get into the Chaldeans running. You ever notice that when you do take a stand, there's always somebody there to go tell on you? Or somebody to complain about it? Why is that? I think it's honestly because they feel bad, they feel guilty, they feel convicted, and they don't like it. So what do they do? They start making themselves feel better and trying to make it bad for you. But anyway, any questions or comments about these first seven verses before we start our prayer time together? Well, thank you. Joe, would you mind praying for us as we end our Bible study time? Thank you.
We're all faced with trials and tribulations. Jesus said, as long as you're in the world, the world hated me, they will hate you. So, Lord, all of us won't be able to say our God is able. But very few of us will say, but if not. Three very important words. Our God is able, but if not. So, Lord, give us the faith to stand for you. No matter what the world says, no matter what Satan throws at us, we will be able to obey you and obey the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt have no other God before me. You are a jealous God. And Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for Artie and for the studies that he makes, the explanation. And Lord, may we go back out into the world and show Jesus love to all the world. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Thank you, Joe.